Welcome to a very special occasion where we are sort of covering slash celebrating the fact that Nintendo and Wiz Media has started releasing the Twilight Princess manga. The first three volumes, as of right now, is available on Wiz Media. And no, it's not sponsored video. We just thought it could be a good time to cover it because more people has access to it. But this is something as... someone that has owned it physically for a long time as something I have wanted to cover for months, but it never happened. But now we finally have an easier time to covering it also, so that's a good thing. And when I mentioned it, Jamie wanted to join on board on it. So Jamie, thank you for joining in on this special occasion, Cannadale.
Yeah, of course. I've been like really busy over the past month with moving and other kind of like grown-up stuff that nobody wants to talk about. So being able to jump back into the world of Zelda, even though it's not Tears of the Kingdom, I was definitely like, yes, I would love to know more, and especially about Twilight Princess, since it's one of the like more rich stories in the Zelda video game space. So
did you know that the Legend of Zelda manga is actually created by two females, the name Akira Himekawa is a synonym you were calling it as a pen name?
Mm-hmm. I have no idea, actually. I think you told me, I forget, because we've been talking about covering the Twilight Princess manga for a little bit of time, so that was one of the things you shared, and I was like, oh, that was interesting. And they actually make note of that at the end of the first volume, so I thought it was nice to mention like a little something about the authors as well.
Well, before we get started with the manga, I was just thinking, what's your history with the franchise, and have you played specifically Twilight Princess?
I actually have not had the pleasure of playing Twilight Princess. That's one of those, like, Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, like, please remake them, re-release them, like, give me some way to legally play them, Nintendo. I would love to have that opportunity. But I actually started the Zelda franchise with Breath of the Wild, I believe it was. When Breath of the Wild was getting ready to come out, there was, like, a lot of hype around it, especially because, like, I stay on the internet all the time, so I saw a lot of people in the Zelda community, like, really excited for this game to come out. And so I found a Let's Player, his name is Zelda Master, I believe it is, and he did a Let's Play of like pretty much every single Zelda game. So I started with, I believe it was Ocarina of Time, and just worked my way up. Got to play Breath of the Wild, loved it. I played Link's Awakening, the remake when it came out, loved that. Played Age of Calamity about a year late. I wish I had started playing it sooner because I loved that. And then Tears of the Kingdom came out, and guess what? I loved that as well. So I played a lot of the more recent Zelda games, but have definitely, hopefully Nintendo will re-release some of these older Zelda games if it's the Switch or the Switch 2 at some point. I know some of the originals are on Nintendo Switch Online right now.
Yeah, when it comes to Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, it's probably just a matter of time, considering they have an HD remaster on the Wii U, so you would think that they come soon.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But I would love to hear about your history with Zelda as well. So, you know, pass you the same question.
Well, I was a bit earlier with the title, and it was another series, and that was actually Wind Waker, which, funnily enough, was kind of got really bashed at the beginning of its release, and it wasn't as beloved as it as it currently is. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, I don't recall. It's sort of like something that have grew on people for a long time.
Yep.
The bad sales for Wind Waker was actually a big reason why they did the type of art style and approach to the story with Twilight Princess as they did. Mm-hmm. Many doesn't know that Twilight Princess actually was the reason that Zelda continued, it was in a decline in sales. So it was, if it weren't, what I'm trying to say, if it weren't for this game, we wouldn't have had Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom, which is insane to think about.
Yeah, one of the biggest games of the year right now might not have existed.
Yeah, and when it comes to Twilight Princess, well, it's my favorite entry in the franchise, which is a major reason why I also wanted to cover this. So, well, so with that said, Chapter 1, which is
it's here. Light and Shadow, Part 1.
Part 1, which give us sort of like an introduction to the whole Twilight realm, where we get within this story, or what it means with light and darkness within this interpretation of the Legend of Zelda. And we have someone called Minna, which you probably have heard of, even though you haven't played the game.
Yeah, I've seen a playthrough of the game, I just haven't played it myself, so.
Yeah, breaks the fourth wall in this chapter, or I was, when she even says that, when she talks about her name and all that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also, it goes excellent when, as I said, also, what do you think? Should we go spoilery or not spoilery with this? I didn't think about it until now.
I mean, you said it's been out for a very long time, but I guess this is the first time this has been released to, released in English, is it?
Digital. I have my physical copy in English.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like since it's been out a while, we could probably talk about it. Just, you know, spoiler warning for those that might not have read the manga, but definitely encourage it. And once again, this media does have the first 3 volumes available, so definitely check that out.
Yeah. And as a start of the manga, what kind of impression gave you the whole... Was it a good introduction for you as the world of Twilight Princess?
Yeah, definitely it was... It changed my perspective of the story as I know it, because it's definitely, it feels like a much more dramatic way to introduce us to Twilight Princess, and to see like Midna as the Twilight Princess in her like normal form, whereas I don't remember in the beginning of the video game Twilight Princess we really get to see her that much. But again, the advantage to looking at like the manga pages and panels is that, like, you know, you can spend as much time or as little time looking at these like amazing drawings and images as you want. So I think I took my time really like looking at especially like these first couple chapters, just because I don't think the game gave us the same intro. Like the intro of the game is more so centered on what we see in some of the later chapters in this first volume, whereas this is like very much about like politics of like the light and dark and like separating those two worlds. So definitely a much different introduction, and it felt much more like dramatic and serious and a different tone for sure.
Yeah, it's that's the thing that you come across when you adapt something. You need to maybe sometimes remove, adapt, add all that. Yes, and as someone that has played it rather recently, they didn't have that this kind of intro in the game, for example, but it works as an introduction, I dare argue. So, and we all. And it gives us a good stake as the beginning of the story. But then we go to Chapter 2. I don't think it's... there isn't, even if it's not much happening, there's also not enough to... sort of like... talk an hour on. So let's go to... Light and Shadow Part 2, which we are introduced to something very controversial, I would argue, considering how people talk about whenever this game, franchise is going to introduce. There is a heated battle for people when it comes to, well, and a lot of it with...
Use me! Princess.
Yeah, I'm talking about... Sorry, I had to. But yes, we are talking about the Link that can actually talk.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Thankfully, a better first impression than that one.
Yes. Actually, see, as a, you see him as a character going back to this village, and he is not the stern sort of like soldier that, should you say soldier? All things considered, a stern character in quotation mark, how he is in the games.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, it's interesting because reading the manga and then also seeing Link speak, I almost see him as an anime character. There's one I'm thinking of specifically that I know you don't personally like. So I'm like, I don't want to say that no, person.
You can mention it. You can mention it. It's okay.
Well, one of them I immediately thought of was Kirito. And it's not even that deep.
Sorry.
Not even that deep, you know? Like, he's just a swordsman. He's an anime character. They both kind of, like, later on in the anime, when he's used to, like, living in that world, he kind of embodies this, like, you know, like, I'm here to help people out kind of idea. That's kind of where I see Link in this. Not saying they're, like, both, you know, they're not the same character, but just the off the top of my head, who I would, like...
I can understand it. I can understand the similarities. Right. I just find it funny that you mentioned the Kirito ball. I do apologize for the laugh.
Oh, no, you're fine. See, this is why I was like, I don't know if I should bring it up or not. But, yeah, it's interesting. It definitely did change my perspective of the way that I'm looking at Link in this, in the manga, compared to how I look at him in the game, especially since he can't speak in the game. I actually really like Link being able to like voice his mind, even though I don't think he like talks so much that you're like, oh my God, will this guy shut up kind of thing. But he talks as much as I feel like any other character does. Like, it's very normal and natural. And it doesn't bother me, actually. So I wouldn't mind having Link speak, even in the game. I don't think I would mind because a lot of the interactions that we have with Link in game, it's kind of assumed that he has said something back to the person that we're talking to.
Yeah.
And we just kind of infer, like, oh, Link probably said like this because I think, like, I would respond like this. So I think it's interesting, like, hearing Link actually speak his mind. And the other part about it is this chapter 2, Light and Dark, it is part 2?
Light and Shadow part 2.
Yeah, the thing about this chapter is it's Link starting to create his like background, not necessarily for the people in the village, because as we keep reading, we find out he's been with them for a little while, but more so for the audience and telling us like, hey, like, you know, I'm just trying to fit in. I'm trying to like help out this community that I'm not really a part of. I didn't originate from this community, and he's just trying to make it work. But we also know, like, you know, there's something else going on with him, just knowing him from the franchise and also just knowing the story of Twilight Princess. So I really like the way that they position this chapter as Link trying to, you know, act like that normal everyday dude. He's Clark Kent, like, nobody should pay.
and of course he is more when he is with people, he's more carefree and all that.
Absolutely.
When he is with his partner and the village people, but when we see him being alone, he is a bit more self-contained.
Yeah, you can say that, a little bit more restrained or contained.
In here I'm looking at Potter, and he you know, perfect example of what you mean when he talks about backstory and how his history is when he meets Ilya in the lake when she is taking care of Epona. Is it Epona? How do you pronounce it?
Epona. Yeah.
We say in Sweden we say Epona. So but that just sounds weird, I know. But I agree. It's just it's a good way to start world building his character, and you can say yes, ahead that he is not afraid. He is. What about Mr. Mayor? A pay raise? And being all quirky, but then when you see the mayor asking him to go to Hyrule, I'm just going there from an example of for someone that doesn't that haven't read or seen a playthrough, play the game. You can see in his reaction, however, no, thank you, but he is kindly declining his offer, and you do wonder why is that, and which is a good, which is why the whole backstory part, the mini backstory part, I think is a very good thing.
Yeah.
Then let's go to third chapter then, which is Ordon Village, which is, well, we see, I can't blame anyone waking up in cold sweat having that kind of nightmare. Don't you say?
Yeah, that's I'm the kind of person, well, not the kind of person, but I definitely do like sleep talk in my sleep, and sometimes depending on how bad the dream is, like I'll actually start like swinging in the air and like just trying to get away. So yeah, this is one that definitely had me jump out of my bed if I had this kind of dream.
And imagine if this was an anime and they start an episode with that, it would take the viewer in attention from the second they show it, kind of thing.
Oh yes.
Yes. How the heck?
I think the other thing about this too is that even including chapter 2 and then going into chapter 3, this is a much better start to the story of Twilight Princess than I think the game does, because the game is very like, it takes you through like farm life and like general maintenance of a community which is not very like interesting or entertaining. While it does deliver like some backstory and tries to like teach you about this environment that you're starting to interact with, it just does it in not a very interesting or fun way, in my opinion. Granted, you know, like we said at the beginning, I haven't played it, but both times I watched a playthrough of Twilight Princess, people playing it were like, yeah, this is the most boring part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, let's just get past this part. So I'm glad to see the manga took some more creative liberties when starting this story.
Yeah, I can, as someone that has replayed Twilight Princess, what is it, twice or thrice during my time, I can agree that as much as I like the characters in Northern Village, please just move along.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes a water temple. Spoilers down the line, but yes. And we can see Colin Adair talking about asking him about joining on fishing. But here comes the thing that I never expected them to, when I read this for the first time, and that is them going through him having books of magic and sorcery, and which is very interesting if you really think about it, because you never see Link as someone that as in, sure, we have fire arrows, all that, yes, in the old school games, but those aren't exactly summoning from the hand arrows.
Right, yeah, he's not casting.
Mm-hmm. So that's just a part of you, and you wonder sort of like, is this connected with a nightmare, all that, yes, because have he done something that caused this? I remember reading that. I mean, it's way him. Are we seeing him going all Merlin in this manga?
No, yeah, what? That's a... another, sorry to cut you off.
No, go on. It's okay.
I was just going to say that was another, like, good way to integrate, like, a part of the story that they revisit towards the end of the first volume. Because I also had a similar thought, like, why would Link be reading about these, like magical, like, books and topics when he doesn't really use magic, or at least, like, cast magic like a wizard or like a warlock would? So I was very curious as to what that was about, and thinking like it probably relates to his past in some way, which it does. But yeah, that was a very like interesting, like little, huh, like that's kind of weird. That then it kind of comes back later. You're like, oh, okay, I see what they were like alluding to there. So I really like that addition as well.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree on that part. But it's, I don't know, sort of like we have... one part that truly, I don't know if you sort of like sticks out in this, on top of sort of really starts the story in a sort of like, I don't know if I would say start, but you can really dwell into that on top of the nightmare, that something has happened to him when he reacts to Tallow, when he talks about what his dream is, and yeah. You can see the shock in the characters' faces. Yes, wait, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Sort of like it's off the characters from him. But even so, as an adult or young adult, we don't know how old he is in this, as right now. Young adult. You can't blame him, even if it is something that kids thinking they are too grown up to go on an adventure. I mean, semi-quote Shanks, they are not ready yet. Luffy, you're not ready yet, Cannadale, if you get my point.
Yeah, I definitely, I see that, I see your point.
What were your reaction towards the whole day that have him go from just being carefree but just acting like nothing happened with during the fishing, and as soon as he hear that, it just snaps?
I really liked the the way he kind of is wearing a mask, I guess you could say, towards the people of Orden Village, and he wants to be the guy that he's projecting to them, but you know, deep down he knows that he's not all that he says he is, or he's left out some key details. So I like that we kind of see that mask slip, and he wants to kind of just dead the conversation. I don't want to talk about this anymore. And I also think it's a much more interesting way of hinting that, you know, not everything is right with this world, and something is a little bit off. Kind of comparing it to the game. I think, was Link actually from Orden Village in the game?
I don't think so. I can't recall that one, actually. I don't think they specify that.
I feel like, at least in my experience, I always thought that he was from the village, and then because of the darkness that falls over the village, he decides to go to Hyrule Castle to try and seek help from Princess Zelda, and that's where the journey begins. But in the manga, we see that, you know, there already is this darkness that he knows exists, and he's trying to keep himself away from it and hopefully not bring it to the people of Orden Village as well. So I like the contrast between these two different stories. We're not so clear on the details, but at least the perspectives we have on these two different stories, and kind of the way that the mangaka play up this known evil to us, the audience, and to Link, but everybody else, they're kind of oblivious.
Yeah, I agree. Is there anything that you want to mention with these three captures that we might have missed before we start wrapping this one up?
I think the only thing I'd like to mention is just the fact that this manga is gorgeous, and the art is amazing and feels nostalgic but also kind of innovative at the same time. I can definitely tell that this is kind of an older style of drawing when it comes to anime and manga, but the way that Viz has kind of remastered this digitally and added some little things to probably clean up the original art, as well as just the original art kind of leans itself towards this very, very 90s or early 2000s anime look. I just really like it. It makes me feel nostalgic, and really love the details, especially in the clothing and the environment. If you guys have the chance, I definitely recommend picking this one up, either physically or digitally, or maybe even both. Do both, so that way you can really dig into the weeds of everything and always have the manga with you. I've been having a lot of fun so far, so I've enjoyed it.
That's good. That's good. Well, I can just say that as of right now, we are going to have three chapters per episode, and it looks like as of right now, it's meant to be a month-to-month episode, but we might change it up for weekly or bi-weekly, I don't know. I don't have anything really else to say about this. The three episodes, this is an anime, although if we are getting a Zelda anime one day, I think you can understand just on these chapters alone why I want the manga to be adapted and not the video games, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Definitely got to start working on the video game community and being open to new things. But I would like that. I personally would.
Agreed. But anyway, J-Man, where can people find you?
You guys can find me at Swiper_art on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And for gaming, at Swiper_prime here on YouTube and on Twitch.
Nice. And Will, you can find me here on the Damager Taco, and I'm starting to, well, it's not finished yet, but I'm starting to build my, my own site, so to speak, where I write about whatever, so to speak. It can be all, everything from video games to movies, what have you. But it's in the preparing stage, so look out for that. But and you can find me at Emblemaniac on Twitter so far. I might start using my Instagram a bit more. I'm barely in there. But yeah, I digress. With that said, have an awesome day, everyone.
Yeah, and thanks for coming through.
Yeah, peace out.
Peace.